The Eugene Springfield Public Libraries continue their month-long participation in the larger effort called The Big Read, a program of the National Endowment for the Arts, currently celebrating Ray Bradbury's classic novel Fahrenheit 451 and examining the issues of censorship and self-censorship that it raises. As part of that month-long inquiry and celebration of books, the Downtown Eugene Public Library will present a free talk by one of Oregon's most prolific and accomplished authors, Ursula K. Le Guin, this Saturday, March 24th at 2 p.m. She joins us by phone. Thank you for taking the time today, Ursula.
Good morning.
You came to prominence as a writer, essentially as a contemporary of Bradbury's in the science fiction and fantasy world. What has Fahrenheit 451 meant to you as a writer?
Several things. One is, that's the way to write a short novel. It's a beautiful little piece of art. And then what he's saying in it, this is a book with a message. Not all books have a message as clear as that one. He does it so well. He makes it so human, you know, so that anybody from about age 10 up can get it.
Mm-hmm. He was justifiably concerned about the effects of TV watching upon reading habits, but didn't really foresee the rise of the Internet, of course. How do you think the Internet has affected people's reading habits and the issues of self-censorship about which he was so concerned?
Well, I think in the larger sense, in the long run, the Internet simply hugely enlarges reading. I mean, the Internet, including all electronic devices, which now includes tablets and readers and so on. I mean, we read electronically now,
yeah,
a lot of us, and probably will do so increasingly. And that's just another availability of books.
So do you think that there is more availability instead of less, and that maybe Bradbury was off target in that regard?
No, what nobody saw was this huge proliferation of the Internet, and that it's, you know, that there's so many different kinds of things on it, one of which is books. And that's where Ray Bradbury saw the competition of all this stuff you can get now, all the games you can play and all the programs you can watch and all the twittering and tweeting and talking to each other all the time and so on. You can do everything on your screen now and hold it in your hand and walk around with it and so on. And so that's heavy competition for, because reading used to be one of the major forms of entertainment. It is for some people still. It always was only for some people.
Yeah.
And, the competition of other forms of entertainment is now very, very stiff. But people who like reading, they like it because there isn't anything else like it. You do reading differently from watching and so on.
Yes, very much. And different in a book, as far as I'm concerned, than on a tablet. It's still a different experience.
It's a different experience. And I think we need to sort of explore that and find out why it feels different to read on the screen. Apparently, one's eyes do something physically different. I mean, it really is a physiological difference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think we need to explore that more. So I know what you mean. I read books a little harder and deeper somehow than I read anything on the screen.
Yeah, no question.
Why is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Something about what we're seeing and how it relates to our brain chemistry, maybe? I'm not entirely
sure. Something like
sure.
that, yeah.
You wrote an essay for Harper's called Staying Awake While We Read that really took on corporate publishing and capitalism. How does all those issues connect to the issues that Bradbury is raising in this effort?
Well, corporations and governments have to be watched very closely and severely if you want to avoid censorship. And the trouble with a government often can't censor books, ban them, and so on, until they actually exist. But the corporation, as it influences publishing, can kill a book before it's born by just saying, oh, we don't publish that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's a very dangerous power, which the publishing industry has, by being bought out by big corporations and mostly being owned now, that's not a good situation. I'm more and more kind of going around saying, support your small presses, your independently owned presses, as well as your independently owned bookstore. Because the ones that are owned by corporations, both the bookstores and the publishing houses, get controlled at the ground level, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a dangerous situation for freedom of thought, freedom of expression.
You've also issued a collection recently called Cheek by Jowl on why fantasy matters. Why do you think fantasy matters in deepening our perceptions of modern reality?
Because imagination is a really, really good tool for looking at reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of play with it and turn it around and look at different sides of it and stuff. It's a very enjoyable way of investigating reality, but it's always reality-based.
Yeah. What will you be focusing on in your talk this Saturday?
I'm going to read some from a book I wrote called The Telling, which has a lot to do with banning books and stuff, and just kind of try to hook it into the general subject of this, the big read.
One of the things that I was really interested in your work was one of your translations, the translation of the Tao of Lao Tzu. What did you find in that might be relevant to these issues?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I would sort of have to look at Lao Tzu. I'm sure there's something that would be. Because what he says is relevant to most everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's not an obvious thing, perhaps. It's a looking back into the past in a certain sense, which is something you've done in other ways. Lavinia was very much a look back into the past, one of your recent novels there. It's much beyond the bounds of science fiction, at least as people popularly conceive it, which is more about possible futures. But looking into the past can tell us about the present just as easily, can it?
Sure. Lavinia is, well, it's not exactly an historical novel because it's prehistory. It's Bronze Age.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's more that genre than it certainly isn't science fiction or really fantasy. But historical fiction and science fiction have a lot more in common than many people realize.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to, you say science fiction, they say, oh, sci-fi, and they shudder, I don't read that. You know, my kids do. Because they're sort of afraid of the science aspect or something, I don't know. Or a lot of science fiction is very dark. But, you know, and the future's scary. The past is safe. It's already happened. You know, it can't scare you the same way. But still, what the imagination is doing in those kinds of fiction is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You're imagining a world a little different from the one we live in.
Science fiction, to me, doesn't characterize what you do adequately because your work has so often been more focused on human issues rather than science issues. I mean, science is involved, but it's really about humanity, isn't it?
Most good science fiction is.
Yeah.
Look at Bradbury. He's categorized as a science fiction writer. I think he's more of, to me, of a fantasist or a fabulist, you know, kind of writes moral tales.
Mm-hmm.
The word science fiction is really kind of unfortunate, but we're stuck with it.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like people to know about what you're going to be speaking about this Saturday, about your writing in general, to get across here?
Well, if anybody has a copy of The Telling, they might look at it, and I won't need to explain quite as much of the plot to them.
Well, we really appreciate your time this morning. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure. Thanks very much.
author Ursula K. Le Guin, who will be giving a free talk in Eugene as part of the regional and national effort called The Big Read. It'll be at the downtown Eugene Public Library at the corner of 10th and Olive, 2 p.m. this Saturday, March 24th, co-sponsored by the Eugene Public Library, the Springfield Public Library, and several other sponsors. For more information, call the library at 541-682-5450 or visit online at eugene-or.gov/library. For more information on the works of Ursula K. Le Guin, ursulakleguin.com. Thank you so much and have a wonderful talk.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think we got it. You still there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's kind of hard to summarize an interview of 40 books and all the things you've done in about 10 minutes of time.
I think you did an amazing job. And thanks for the questions. They were neat.
Okay, I really appreciate it. I'm honored to get a chance to say hello and talk. So thank you again so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.